Hey guys, glad you're back. Today we're talking about some tips for handling your challenging students. How can you really help them instead of being so frustrated and not knowing what to do? Well, today I'm going to share some practical tips that will help you in giving back some peace for your classroom. Even after dealing with some of these challenging students, you can have peace in your class. So before we get started, I want to encourage you to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a thing. Also, share this episode or any of the other episodes with anyone you know in education who could also benefit from this podcast. I would so appreciate that. And one more thing, leave a review wherever you're listening. I would love to hear from you. Welcome to Behavior Strategies for Class. I am Diane Bachman, your behavior paraprofessional with over 15 years of experience working in special education. And I'm so glad you're here because I'll be teaching you about social-emotional learning, behavior strategies, trauma-informed care, and more. So if you are tired of being frustrated and not knowing what to do with your students who have challenging and disruptive behavior, you're in the right place. Now, if you're ready to become more equipped to help your students learn and grow, let's listen in to today's episode. So one of the most valuable things that I learned when working with some of our challenging students was learning to be quiet. And I know sometimes that is so hard to do. And I definitely catch myself wanting to talk, ask questions, you know, what's going on? How can we help? What can we do? Blah, blah, blah. You know, constantly talking. And when your student is escalated, they don't want to have a conversation. They don't want to answer any of our questions at that point. And so being able to learn how to give them space or when the right time is to talk to them has been really valuable in working with some of our challenging students. A few times, like, they actually tell us, I don't want to talk right now. And so I have learned to just kind of back away. Give them that space. Because when we do try and talk to them and they're escalated, they're upset, they're angry, we just get into an argument. And so now we're debating back and forth, which isn't helpful for anyone because sometimes that just escalates the student even more because they're frustrated and they don't really want to talk. But, you know, sometimes, I would get caught up, like, we're trying to help. I want to help you. How can I help you? What do you need? What do you want? You know, all of these things. But learning that there is a time for that. And so I have learned that in my years of working with the challenging students, that when they're upset and they're mad and either they're sitting in the corner and they have their head covered, sometimes they're just laying with their heads down on the desk. Other times they've run out of the building, they've run out of the classroom, or they're, you know, ready to fight somebody. You know, now I have learned, like, you can't just go up and be like, hey, let's have a conversation right now in the middle of your anger and frustration. I mean, just like us, like, we don't want to have a conversation really when we're that upset. We need some time. And so that is the same with your students. So today, 10 tips for handling, dealing with some of your challenging students. And number one would be a check-in. And this would be before they're escalated. So it's a check-in like at the beginning of the day. You know, just checking in, like, how was your night? Did you get breakfast this morning? How are you feeling today? You know, what strategies are you going to use today? Really, that's just being proactive And I really find when you can be proactive that it really does make a difference. I mean, granted, there are times, you know, we could give them strategy after strategy, but when they're so upset, sometimes like they just don't want any of it. They don't want to deal with any of it. They don't want to, you know, do the breathing. They don't want to do all of that stuff. And so we, again, just have to give them space. But the more we can be proactive in checking in with your student, reminding them of the strategies they can use, really does help to set them up for success for that day. So number two is allowing them to journal. Now, journaling, you know, it may not happen, like, of course, in the middle of an escalation, but when they are calm, you could say, you know what, if you don't want to talk to me about whatever happened, you know, get your journal, write it in there or draw it in there. Or sometimes this can also be another proactive way where your students could also journal first thing in the morning. You know, what's going on with them? How are they feeling? What their goals might be, behavior goal might be for the day. All of these things, being proactive, like I said, really sets them up for success and gets them thinking before they're escalated and all they see is red. So number three is really important as well, and that is staying calm. When they are so upset, they really need to feel our calm. You know, it's not for us to get involved and, I guess, sucked in per se on their frustration and their anger, and then we're angry and we're frustrated and we just want that student out of your classroom, and you know, it turns into a giant explosion where sometimes it really doesn't have to be a big explosion. It could just be, you know, walking over. I can see you're really upset about whatever happened. You know, we can talk about it, you know, maybe at lunchtime, or do you need to go sit, you know, in the calm corner or take a quiet moment, or do you need to journal, you know, just calmly giving them suggestions. And sometimes if you want to have a visual out on their desk, or maybe a visual that you can just show them, you know, you don't even have to have verbal conversation. But just being calm, pointing to, you know, say a fidget, and then walking away. I know it's hard because sometimes your other students are like, Johnny's really mad. You know, isn't someone going to talk to him or whatever? You know, it's just staying calm and knowing when it would be a better time to talk to that student. Staying calm is really important. So number four, we call this the supportive stance. And this is what we've learned, or I've learned in the CPI training, or NCI, the non-crisis, or non-violent crisis intervention, that we do a supportive stance. So if a student is escalated and you want to try and talk to them, you don't come at them like straight on, straightforward, like, you know, arms crossed, feet planted firmly, like straight in front of them. That's what we call like a, you know, everyone gets defensive if somebody comes up to you like that, you know, and so we want to be supportive, and that's just turning our bodies slightly at an angle. And just, you know, sometimes even just getting down on their level, you know, or just sitting next to them and just saying, hey, I can tell it's a rough day. You know, I'm just here to support you. And sometimes that's enough. And not necessarily that they're going to talk to you at that moment, but maybe they've stopped screaming. Or maybe they've stopped, you know, banging their fist on the desk. And that's all they needed to know. Somebody saw them and somebody acknowledged them. So the supportive stance just again gets away from being on the defensive, getting them on the defensive. And so now you are showing them you are being supportive of them. You're not coming at them. You're coming to support them. And number five, I spoke about earlier, is learning to give them space. So when they are escalated, like in our class, sometimes we can tell when some of our students are beginning to escalate, and we don't have to say a word. We all usually will get up and start moving things off of desks, moving coffee cups, water cups, computers, everything off of the desks as much as possible, because we know that student is probably about to have an escalation, and we know that that student is going to come around and try and knock everything off of the tables or rip stuff up or throw stuff. And so that is giving them that space. So again, that makes them feel safe. And yet that is giving them the space to be upset, because obviously, you know, those are all real feelings that we all deal with. And so we want to be able to be like, okay, I can give you a few minutes, you know, and then checking back in. In some schools, I know we have what's called quiet rooms, where it's just one separate little area that students can go to, and it does have a door. And students can close it, they can shut lights off, they can turn lights on, whatever they feel like, but that is their own space. And so we usually will give that to them. Sometimes they just go directly in there and shut the door. Other times they go in, don't shut the door. You know, whatever it is that they feel they need. But to know that it is okay to give them that space and to give them a little time to process through. And number six would be stick to your word. This is really vital as you build trust with your students. Say what you mean and mean what you say, and follow through as much as you can. I mean, granted, we know, you know, things happen, things change, you know, schedules change sometimes during the day, depending on what's happening. But, for the most part, they need to know that you are a person of your word and you are going to follow through on what you say. We had one student, he would always call us out if we said something and then it didn't happen for whatever reason. Always. Like this, you know, your students are listening to everything, whether we like that or not. You know, so we need to really stick to our word, be sincere, and that's just another way to model for them a person of integrity. Number seven is giving choices as much as you can, when you can. Like sometimes after a student has escalated, they're still not ready to go back to class. And so we do some work with them in our classroom. And so we will give them that choice. Do you want to start on, you know, this math page or read a book first? You know, it doesn't have to be a major, big, huge discussion or huge decision that needs to be made. I mean, it could be, sometimes it's even, do you want to sit here? Or do you want to sit there? Do you want this pencil or that pencil? And that just kind of gives them back a little bit more control of their environment. So wherever you can, when they're done with their escalation, I mean, that could even be the snack. You know, do you want goldfish or do you want crackers, other crackers? You know, or do you need your water now, or do you want to wait? Do you want to fill it up? Do you know, I mean, again, just little things, but that is giving them back some of their power and their control of their, I wouldn't say their life, but their environment, like I said, their environment. Number eight is teaching that accountability. So yes, they are escalated, they're kind of losing their minds, and it depends, like, how far is it going? Is it, you know, are students coming at you? Are students going after each other? Is it, you know, physical? Is it mental, verbally being abusive to you, maybe to their peers, and maybe to themselves, or wanting to hurt somebody? We need to show them also that they're, when they do make their choices, they do have consequences. And those can be obviously positive consequences or negative. And, you know, again, we turn that back on them and say, you know, well, it was your choice, you know, not to do your writing when it was writing time. You know, it was your choice, you know, that this happened. You know, so it's teaching them accountability and teaching them, again, and modeling, you know, that their word matters. And so, you know, kind of holding them again to those expectations and teaching that accountability. Number nine, again, I touched on this earlier, and that is to avoid arguing. It is so easy to get caught up arguing, you know, even with a first grader, a kindergartner, and then you realize, oh, you're only four or you're only six. Like, you know, we just kind of need to take it back and take a second and realize, okay, how am I helping the situation? Or am I helping it by continue to argue with this student? I know it's hard sometimes not to, because I definitely catch myself as well arguing when I really shouldn't be. And then sometimes I just have to say, okay, I'm done. You know, I'm done talking about this. And it's definitely hard for some of our students that have autism to just kind of let things go. But they do learn. And so it's just being patient and being able to be like, okay, well, I'll talk to you when you can speak, you know, with kind words. And then that's all you have to say sometimes, and then just walk away. Because sometimes, of course, if we stand there, then we get caught back up in the arguing. And that's not beneficial for anyone. And then number 10 is build those connections. Again, it comes back to relationship. Connection with your students. You know, for as much as they have challenging behavior, they're disrupting your class, they want to leave, they don't want to do their work, you know, all of those things, they're really just wanting someone to care, someone to notice that they're not there, or that they are there and they're struggling. So any way you can make any type of connection with your students, especially those that are challenging with their behavior, with their words, you know, they definitely need so much from us that it is exhausting. But I promise you that it is most rewarding. However, you may not see that reward, but it is super important. Build those connections. Give them a reason to want to be in your class. You know, so to review, 10 tips for handling your challenging students. Number one is a check-in in the beginning of the day. And this is all proactive steps that you can take to help your students succeed through the day. Number two, and that includes allowing them to journal. You know, maybe they don't want to tell you what's happening, but they feel okay writing it down or maybe drawing it. Number three, super important as well, is staying calm. When they are being disruptive, even sometimes when they're climbing on chairs and tables, you want to stay calm. Number four, have that supportive stance. Don't come at them like full, your whole body facing them. That puts them on the defense, especially your arms are crossed. Like, that totally puts them on the defense. Number five, give them space. So when you see your student about to get upset, but you know he's not going to hurt anybody, you know, you just want to allow to give them that space. And you could just say, you know what, I'll check back in with you in a couple minutes. Or, you know, we have said before, you know, when you're ready, or when you're, you know, sitting in your chair, then I'll know you're ready. And sometimes that's just the expectation, and we just keep repeating it. And then eventually the students will, you know, go sit at the table. And then we can process with them about whatever happened. Number six, stick to your word. Mean what you say, say what you mean. Your students are listening, and this is a good way to build trust with them. Number seven, give choices when you can. You know, do you want to use your pen or your pencil? Do you want to start in this book or that book? Which page of math? You know, giving them that choice. Number eight, teaching accountability. That no matter what's going on, their behavior has consequence. And it could be just a positive or it could be a negative, depending on how they react when they're given those expectations. Number nine, avoid arguing. Super easy to do. Continue to argue with your students. And that is not going to solve anything. And number 10, build those connections whenever you can. You know, maybe you find out one student loves football, or another student loves to read, or, you know, whatever it is, that you would continue to make an effort to build connection with that student. And so I just want to remind you that mostly your challenging students really need you. I understand sometimes they do need to leave your classroom, but when they come back, greet them, encourage them, just say, hey, it's great you're back, and move on from the day. Don't sit and try and rehash every little thing that just happened when they had just processed, like with the school counselor or your AP, or even, you know, if you have any other behavior paras, you know, if they have already spoken to someone about it and they're ready to come back to class, then let them come back and not rehash every little thing that just happened. So again, I will leave you with this quote. We don't get to decide whether we have challenging students in our classes, but we can certainly decide how we respond to them. So I hope these tips were helpful for you. Definitely shoot me a DM if you feel like these did help you and you did see a difference in your students. So it is possible, I promise you, that your students can change from having disruptive, challenging behavior all the time. And one more thing before you go, you can also show your support for this podcast and you can use this online payment at Behavior Strategies for Class. Online payment at Behavior Strategies for Class. Now, this is for some of you who just want to show support, maybe just giving a one-time donation. Maybe you feel the need to give monthly, but it would so be appreciated. And again, it's not anything you have to do, but I would love it if you could show your support that way. And so I just want to wrap up and say again, your challenging students need you each and every day to stay calm, to say what you mean, and stay in supportive stance. So thanks so much for listening, and I will see you next week. Thanks so much for listening. I truly appreciate your support. And if I have encouraged you, motivated you to continue to learn, to support your students, even better, to help them strive in your classroom, please leave a review, hit that subscribe button so that others can see they can learn and grow here as well. Thank you.